Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wake up to Golic and Wingo in the morning and drive home with Danger and Battaglia in the Sports Bar. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
Back in the Sports Bar, ready to talk some hockey. And when we talk hockey, we got to bring in our buddy Dennis Bernstein from thefourthperiod.com. And it's like a gift. We had the opportunity to speak with Dennis last week. And Dennis, on the front lines of reporting the status of Todd McClellan. So let's get him in again this week and find out what the latest is. Dennis, how are you?
I'm not sure what kind of gift it is, but I'm happy to join you.
Dennis, Todd McClellan, what's the latest on Todd McClellan?
Well, he's going to be at the game tonight watching his son play in the Frozen Four for Denver U. So that's the latest on Tom McClellan. Look, we've reported that Todd is going to be the next coach of the LA Kings on Wednesday. We're sticking to the report. That's what I'm willing to say at this point in time. And plus, regardless of who we might wind up, if you don't believe our report, you're not going to extract Todd from watching his kid the Frozen Four.
Right.
And they went tonight, they'll play Saturday, so nothing's going to happen in the next couple of days. Right, regardless of the announcement. But we'll stick with our story, and I'll go a little bit further. When we cover King stuff, like if you follow my Twitter account, 2 days ago, I said that I wouldn't be shocked if Slava Voronov got suspended for a year. Slava Voronov got suspended for a year.
Yeah.
The first one to have Hagelin for Pearson. We were the first one to report that Ilya Kovalchuk would be open to waiving his no-trade clause, right? And I think there's one other one I can't recall right now. So when we report LA King stuff,
pretty solid.
Pretty reliable.
Yeah.
Pretty solid. Oh, yeah, the Drew Doughty extension last summer. We were the first ones to report that. So that's what I'm going to say. We reported that Todd's on track to become the LA Kings coach. We're sticking with that report.
Dennis, we've heard that there's a relationship between McClellan and Kings GM Rob Blake. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's dive a little bit deeper into that relationship and why that might be the reason why your report is actually correct.
Well, they do. I mean, when Rob finished up his career in San Jose, Todd played for him. He played for Todd. So they had that relationship there. Todd's a Western guy. He's from, I think Saskatchewan. He has familiarity in the division with coaching for Edmonton and San Jose. Right. So there's a lot of boxes he checked. Plus, if you look at what the needs are for this team, and there are parallel needs in Buffalo as well, there needs to be more credibility in the room. Right. Willie DeJardin's really hurt this team with respect to their practice habits and the sense of entitlement this team had. And really, this is, and look, I know they needed a change from Darryl Sutter, and John Stevens was the perfect choice to go there. I just think that if Rob had a do-over and had a mulligan using a golf term this week, I think he would have gave John Stevens a longer leash. Todd McClellan comes into the room, there's going to be immediate credibility. This is a guy who, as bad as the Edmonton Oilers have played, and Todd didn't get a long leash this year, like he's the only guy in the last 10 years to get that team in the playoffs. When he coached that team, Connor McDavid was the MVP. So there's two things that need to happen in Los Angeles. One, you need credibility from the coach, number one. Number two, you need a teacher, because this team will be much younger. I assume they will trade or waive Jeff Carter. They'll probably buy out Deion Phaneuf. So there's a twofold thing here. So he checks all the boxes for this team. And to be frank, and I know that Buffalo's going through this with their coaches. Rob's got to get this right, because he's been in the seat for a couple of years. This is his fourth coach. And there's only so many bolts in your chamber when you come to coaches at that point in time. And he's got to get this one right. And I believe he is. And I really enjoyed talking to Todd, covering Todd when he was in San Jose. He covered him more than he was in Edmonton. I think he's the right man for the job. I know people talk about retreads, but this is a proven NHL coach. Granted, not great player success, but I always go back to the fact that when they brought in the last retread, his name was Darryl Sutter. Darryl Sutter had never won a Stanley Cup before. And the rap on Darryl Sutter was he couldn't take this team long. So I just see why they need this coach at this point in time. I think it's a smart hire for this team, given where they are standing right now.
Dennis Bernstein, the fourth period, telling us, they are standing by their report. Tom McClellan expected to be named the next head coach of the LA Kings. Gosh, the Kings roster, the Sabres roster, would McClellan even be a good fit in Buffalo, in your opinion, Dennis?
I like Todd, so I think he'd be a really good fit anyway. I think he didn't get a fair shake in Edmonton. And, you know, and remember, and look, the team didn't play well for him. I get it. And their defensive approach wasn't right. But remember, Ken Hitchcock, who's one of the top three in wins and all time in the AHL, he came in and promised he was going to fix everything, right? He's going to bring in the defensive scheme and system that's going to solve the problems of the team. They missed the playoffs, and by a bit, right? So he didn't fix anything, and to people hold him in very high regard, right? So it's more about what Peter Chiarelli did with that roster, and it's not a winnable roster. So who's ever going to come in as a GM going forward, and I have a favorite, another Los Angeles connection, Mike Fuda, who's the assistant general manager in Edmonton, I think is exactly what they need, because he's a scout. He's a hawk. He knows the players. He knows he can align a roster. So I don't blame Todd for the losing in Edmonton, because when I see Ken Hitchcock coming behind him and not do the job, then I would think, yeah. And look, I commend the Sabres for going at the top of Cronin and talking to him. I just don't think it's going to happen. But I do think he could succeed, because I think he's a far better coach than Phil Housley.
Dennis, we've heard in hearing the name Todd McClellan aligned with the Sabres, we all scramble and we do a little bit of homework on him. One of his quotes that he had when he was in Edmonton, and this might be one of my favorite Todd McClellan quotes that I've read, the best analytics are a pair of eyes. Do you think Todd McClellan has evolved a little bit on his stance on analytics and looking at that since leaving Edmonton?
Well, here's the thing. You have tools at your disposal, you use them, right? Now, maybe it's not the coach, maybe it's the general manager, maybe you have an assistant coach that does that. I'm on Todd's side, right? Because, look, you don't need analysts to tell you that Connor McDavid's a great player or John McDavid, right? Maybe it's because it's more on the GM, right? Because you need analysts to tell you that third-line player who's playing somewhere else can come over and maybe be a second-line player or be an effective third-line player, right? The elite player is going to be an elite player, right? So the analytics stuff is the deeper dive into the roster. You know, the 15 to 23 men on your roster. That's where I think analytics comes into play, because I'm going to tell you right now, analytics don't got to tell me that Jack Hughes is the best guy in the draft, right? So it's that strata underneath your top player, right? That's where you need analytics. So if Todd wants to feel that way, I get it, I understand it, and it's really something more for the hockey operations team than for Todd McClellan, because they give Todd McClellan the ammunition and the players to go win games. Right, so I think that's why Todd's looking at that, and he's got to evaluate the on-ice play. He's not looking at, you know, Corsi and Fenwick and stuff like that. And I'll give you a perfect example. This year, Drew Doughty was, I think, Corsi was 48%. Right, so you're not going to take Drew Doughty on your team. Like if Rob Blake called up Bodrum and we want to, well, his advanced statistics weren't good this year, so we're going to pass on. So I have no problem with Todd's approach to that. I think he's a fine coach. He's won like 500. Or so games in the NHL. He's taken the Edmonton Oilers to a playoff round. He had three straight division winners in San Jose. I think his resume, we don't even have to talk about his resume. It's about a best fit. And so when people want to criticize that maybe he's not the best teacher in the world and you're the teaching coach for this team in Buffalo, yeah, then it's a fair criticism.
Dennis Bernstein from the Fourth Period, our guest. So let's say Jason Bottrell strikes out on getting Todd McClellan. Where did the Sabres go from here, Dennis? I mean, they lost, this is before Bottrell, but they lost out on Babcock, and they ended up with their Bylsma as their second choice. So who might be some of the candidates in Buffalo?
Alain Vigneault, who I think if the Kings didn't land McClellan, that they would look at Vigneault. And I think some of the Mike Babcock coaching tree in Toronto, so you've got Sheldon Keefe, who runs their AHL affiliate, the Marlies, excellent coach, 37 years old, new age type of coach, fresh ideas. He would certainly, I think, work. DJ Smith, who's probably not going to be assistant next year, he would be available. So, you know, Benoit Gru, the guy who's coaching Tampa's AHL affiliate, would be another option. So they have a couple different options. They could reach into the college ranks, maybe the Minnesota State guy who's taking the team deep there. So and the St. Cloud State coach as well. So there's a couple of options. I think that even if they miss on McClellan, as I expect they will, I think they've got some really solid choices here. So I don't think any Sabre fans, I think that it's going to wring their hands over this. There's five or six coaches that could probably step in and help this team next season. So I don't think it's that big of an L when Tom McClellan says he's not going to coach the Sabres.
Dennis, it's funny. You mentioned the AHL head coach in Toronto, the AHL head coach in Syracuse. You didn't mention the AHL head coach in Rochester. Tell me why.
Legit, legit candidate as well. Absolutely, yeah. Look, in any organization, any corporate organization, you want to be able to promote from within. There's familiarity with the player, so absolutely the Rochester AHL coach should deserve consideration. But you know, when he's up against an Alain Vigneault who's taken two different teams to the Stanley Cup final, their resumes don't compare, right? So it depends what Botterill's approach wants to be. Do they want that young, you know, young guy who's really burning to prove himself? Say, hey, I can do this. I can do it as good as Todd or Alain. Like, do they want that? Do they want that energy that you're going to get? Or do you want the coolness of a Vigneault who's been around the block a thousand times, who doesn't panic? But, you know, the criticism of Vigneault, obviously, is that he's not the best with younger players. He doesn't utilize, he leans on his veterans. And to be frank, this is not a veteran team. So may not, that not be a fit? Yeah. But, again, it depends on, like, how much reach does Jason Botterill have left, guys? Like, is this his last hiring, coach? Like, or does he have another bolt in the chamber where he could go to a younger one? Because you'd hate to fail, and your final failure would be an unproven coach, right? And I think that's what's happening in Los Angeles as well. They need credibility, but Rob went from, you know, he went from John Stevens to Willie Desjardins. He can't go to a minor league coach or a junior coach, right? Because this is probably his last shot. So, again, it depends how much play the GM has with ownership that might involve, that certainly I think is going to influence the coaching decision in Buffalo.
Well, I mean, to answer your question and kind of expand on that, Dennis, it's the longest playoff drought in the NHL now. It's the Buffalo Sabres. And they can't, the Pegulas, the owners can't pin this on anybody. It's happened underneath all of their watch. I mean, what is, you're on the other coast. What is the opinion of the Pegulas and the Buffalo Sabre organization? Are they viewed as, hey, they're getting it together, or oh, they're just somebody that's in the league right now?
I think what the perception I get is that they're willing to spend money, right? That they're willing to do what's necessary to try to have this team play, right? And I just think that it's, you know, it's a combination of Dan Bosman wasn't a great coach. I think it's just some poor choices. I still like the GM. I still think he can get this team where they need to be. It's just that I think right now, in the moment right now, guys, it's so cloudy here because of the way the season ended. Like, it really looks like a bigger disaster than it is. And on balance, you know, again, I've said this on the show a couple of times. Like, that 10-game winning streak was the worst thing in the world for this franchise. To be in first place in November, no, it was bad. So now, just talk about Jeff Skinner not coming back, right? And he scored 35 goals, even though he really stood up at the end of the season. So I don't look at the Sabres' perception as like, okay, the organization doesn't know what they're doing. I don't look at it like that. This is not Ottawa, okay, right? I understand this is a far better owner. Like, two different ends of the spectrum, right? But the Gulls are good people, and they take care of the people. They're willing to spend the money. They want to win. So it's as simple as that. But, you know, the Rangers want to win, and so do the Knicks in New York, and that's not happening either. So I don't look at it as like this is in disarray. I like Botterill. He's smart. He was certainly qualified for the position. But to be frank, he's got to make better choices at this point in time, and it's got to happen now. Like, the next two seasons, like Rob, like, there's a lot of parallels between Buffalo and Los Angeles at this point, guys. I think Blake, now, this is his team. Like, the excuse of Dean Lombardi's team for the last 2 years is gone now. This summer's got to be a defining moment for Rob and his choices. I think the same thing for Jason. So I certainly look at it. I can be hopeful here, but it's just the way the season ended, the way they played down the stretch. It kind of clouds things. You've got to take a step back from this team and say, what's the reality of this team? Look at this roster, and then kind of breathe again in May, and then just, you know, your plan of attack, build your draft board, and see what you could do in free agency via trade.
He is Dennis Bernstein, thefourthperiod.com, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. And Dennis, while we have you on the line, we got to talk a little playoff hockey. And we know a lot can happen in a seven-game series, but we certainly haven't seen Tampa gag away a lead like they did last night in years. Is that reason for concern for the favorites going into the tournament?
Nah. I think they went in five instead of four. I think they're still the best team. I don't want to be concerned. I think what happened, guys, is that after the first period, half the team went to the strip club in Tampa, and they just kind of cashed out, and they decided not to show for the last two periods and lost the puck. And I give full credit to Tortorella and Columbus. Like, they didn't give up. They got a really nice goal from Foligno that took them back on track, and then they just took control of the game, and they didn't stay up. So they're going to be they're a mentally tough team. They're just not as skilled as that team. I can't see how if the next game is 3-0. I don't see how Tampa's going to lose that game, right? And I just see there's just way too much talent on that team to think that Columbus can rise up and beat them. Look, if Bobrovsky's going to match Vasilevskiy Sabre, say, then we're talking about a long series. I just don't see it. I think that this was the mulligan for them, and they're going to go out and take care of business in five games, because I just don't – when I look at the rosters, when I look underneath the top line, there's so much talent on Tampa. I just think that they just eased up. They took the gas. They put up the gas. I don't think they're going to make that mistake again in this series, and maybe not for the rest of the playoffs.
How about out west, a team that was hot, the St. Louis Blues, get a win on the road. Yeah. Does that put the Jets here in a little bit of trouble?
Yeah, because that's my sleeper, man. I love St. Louis. Guess what? I think St. Louis could go to the Stanley Cup final. That's how much I believe in this team. Because Winnipeg did not play well down the stretch. They were banged up on the blue line. They just weren't finishing games well. I was not shocked last night at that outcome. Jordan Binnington's been fantastic for this team. Ron O'Reilly's a clutch player. He galvanized the entire roster. They love Craig Berube. They've responded to his message. I love this team. I absolutely think they deserve to stay in the Cup final.
Dennis, everyone in Rochester and Buffalo, we're all Bruins fans. Tonight, how do you see this Toronto-Boston series playing out?
Bruins in five. First of all, Toronto still doesn't care about playing defense. The world's greatest coach, Mike Babcock, the guys in Buffalo shouldn't be that upset that he's not coaching their team. This team has no commitment to defense. None. They're not interested. Not interested in playing defense. And you can't do that against Boston. The only hope for Toronto in the series is if they get bad goaltending in from Boston. If they go to Rask and he's no good, and then Halak behind him isn't good. And I don't see it happening. I mean, Rask could not play well, but I think Halak behind him will be fine. And the thing with Toronto, other than not committing to playing defense, they're an emotionally frail team. They're just waiting for something bad to happen to them. And then they can go in the tank, because it's always happened, and especially against the Boston Bruins. Right? So I don't give them much of a chance. And not only that, then they've got to fix this roster because they've got to pay Mitch Marner next year. There's a lot of movement that guys like Patrick Marleau and Maz Kadri are probably not going to be on the team next year. I do not like Toronto in the spot at all. I think this is the worst team for them to play for the reasons that I mentioned, and I expect a short series. I think Boston's going to win the five.
Two other underdogs tonight, Dennis. You've got Carolina in Washington. You've got Colorado in Calgary. Between the two underdogs, which one do you like better, Carolina or Colorado?
Well, because of the romanticism around the team, I like the bunch of jerks better.
Yeah.
But, you know what? Washington's been laying in the weeds all year. They didn't play hard for 60 games. The last 20, they played hard. Star-studded line. Braden Holtby's been fantastic down the stretch. They might get one game in Carolina. Don't see it happening. On the other side, in Calgary, the best team for Calgary to play right now is Colorado. Because they're hot. They're 8-0-2 coming in. I don't think they're the better team. But they're going to challenge their goaltending. So we're going to find out about Calgary's goaltending in the first round because Landeskog's back, Mikko Rantanen's back. That's a powerful first line, a really good power play. So it's a good test for Calgary because, you know what, nobody's saying, like, Calgary's definitely the best team in the West, but not a lot of people picking them. They're picking Vegas, they're picking San Jose, Winnipeg, because nobody believes in their goaltending because Mike Smith I would never trust in the playoff after 2012. And David Rick, we don't know. He hasn't ever won a playoff game. So people are kind of, you know, they're not all in on Calgary for that reason because of the goaltending. But I think this series will show people how good the goaltending is. And if the goaltending stands up and is good and Calgary goes and wins in five games or an easy series, then they become a legitimate contender because I think people are just waiting on them. Because I know all the other facets of their games are great, just the goaltending people just waiting and seeing all that.
Dennis, what do you got working at the website, fourthperiod.com?
Well, the draft lottery. The upsetness of a lot of people in Los Angeles is completed. So we'll talk about the draft lottery. We'll talk about the draft board. I expect a lot of trades at the draft table. I think that, you know, after Kako and Hughes, the next 3 to 15 picks are interchangeable. I think you'll see activity in the top 15 from a trading standpoint. And then obviously July 1 free agency. So we're working up to free agent frenzy on July 1. So any news, any speculation, certainly the Tom McCullough thing is first up, but there are other teams that made the hire coaches as well. So just go to fourthperiod.com and see my work, Dave Penios. We did a first-round selection for the Stanley Cup first round, and we'll do subsequent picks for the rest of the playoffs.
Dennis, always enjoy reading your work and your takes as well. Dennis, thanks so much for your time today.
Danger Pataglia, always a pleasure to be on the Sports Bar.
Got it. Love it. Dennis Bernstein, thefourthperiod.com, unbelievable hockey website. Check it out throughout the course of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you will not be disappointed. Dennis standing by his report, Gene.
Yeah, yes, that's the correct report. And why hasn't it happened? Well, it's fairly simple, right? McClellan doesn't want to upstage his kid tonight or Saturday night. That's the worst. You love your son. You're not going to steal the spotlight from your son. So this will all get resolved very quickly. I totally believe, Dennis, that McClellan will be the next head coach of the LA Kings.
All right. So what about for the Sabres then? Are you okay with the prospect of Alain Vigneault as your next head coach?
No. Here's why. Because Vigneault, he's somebody that you hit the win now button. Are we at that point in Buffalo yet? That's why I was wondering, is McClellan really the right guy? I still think you need that developer. I still think Taylor. It's funny he mentioned Benoit Grue. That's the ex-Amherst coach who's now coaching Syracuse. People's head would explode here in Rochester. Benoit Grue somehow leapfrogged Chris Taylor and became the head coach of the ball. But Grue has certainly paid his dues, too. Or the head coach of the Marlies becoming the next head coach of the Sabres. So I go back to what did Marty Baron tell us on Monday? He told us this is going to take a while here. So
it should.
Yeah.
That's why I was shocked when there were reports that Todd McClellan was going to be the next head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. Shocked. Like, how could that possibly be the way you would go about a head coaching search? Hiring a guy 48 hours after. No, that's impossible. No. All right. So Dennis standing by his report. McClellan heading to the Kings. And his track record is pretty good when it comes to predicting LA Kings outcomes. So we can probably rest easy knowing that your next Sabres head coach won't look like the lead singer from 80s metal band, except he won't look like a combination of David Foley of Kids in the Hall and Patton Oswalt.
But can we get the accept song to be the new goal song?
Oh, balls to the wall?
Yeah.
Maybe when the Kings come to town. You know, when the Kings come to town, we can mock them a little bit. I'll drink to that is next in the sports bar. Some takes. Takes on tap. 454-ESPN is our phone number. We're about accountability in the sports bar, Gene. You and I, we got to admit we were wrong on something. Well, at least partially wrong on something that happened a week ago that we'll dive into next.
Okay. Odell Beckham Jr. Now, schedule leaks come from all sorts of places. He might have leaked the Browns who their first opponent would be. Ooh, if this is the case, sign me up for that as we're days away from the NFL schedule release.
And the best sports month on the calendar. I'm hearing a little bit of a revolt. Could it be April? We'll discuss. I'll drink to that is next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports League, ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best sounding, most interactive way to listen to the sports leader? The Radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The Radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.